reporting on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And there's a tremendous discovery about the fake electors I want to tell you about. It removes all doubt, quite frankly, as to what Trump was up to. The Trump insiders that were behind this, and by the way, you know, John Eastman, the lawyer, who's the guy that cooked up this scheme, and I'm just going to boil it down for you, but the scheme was this. They were going to put in fake electors from the swing states. Fake electors. They didn't need fake electors from New Jersey, New York, Alabama, or Mississippi, because everybody knew what they were going to do, but fake electors from Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. And so two sets of electors would be submitted to Pence, and they all Pence had to do is say, I don't accept these. I'm referring these to the Congress. And then, frankly, even if Pence didn't say that, the law is that all it takes is one member of the House and one from the Senate. And here you had Josh Hawley and seven or eight sociopaths that were prepared to do it in the House, and then it gets referred to the Congress. This happened in 1876, after Ulysses Grant's second term. Rutherford Hayes ran against Sam Tilden. Rutherford Hayes was a Republican and a hero of the Battle of Antietam. He was a colonel. And Sam Tilden was a Democrat. And the North did not want the Democrat in at that point after what had happened in the Civil War. So it went to Congress, and Congress said that Rutherford Hayes won even though he lost. And unfortunately, a devil's bargain was made. They said, as a sop, we will withdraw federal troops from the South who are protecting black people, and Southerners can do whatever they want. And for 100 years, they lynched and abused black people through Jim Crow until the 1960s and John Kennedy came along. Civil rights. So in any event, that was the model. So it would go in, and even though Trump lost by 7 million popular votes and over 30 electoral votes, they would say, well, there are two competing slates, so the House gets to vote. Not the Senate, just the House. And you may think, okay, well, then Nancy Pelosi has that covered. Well, no, she doesn't, because the law in the Constitution says each state gets one vote, the whole state, by majority of their delegation. Well, Wyoming is a state with 600,000 people, and it would get one of the 50 votes. It would go Republican. California has 40 million people and two senators. They get only one vote. And, of course, theirs would be Democratic. But in the six swing states, Wisconsin's vote would have gone to Trump because five of the eight congressmen were Republicans. And same with Arizona and so forth. And Trump would have won something like 27 to 23, the presidency in the House. That was the scam. Well, on December 8th, there was an email from a guy named Jack Wilinchek of Phoenix, Arizona. He's a lawyer. He was one of the organizers of the fake electors. And he sent an email to Boris Epstein, or Boris Epstein was one of the Trump insiders who was part of all this. And they used the term themselves. Here's what Jack Wilinchek said to Boris Epstein in the Trump crowd. Quote, we would just be sending in fake electoral votes, he used the word fake, to Pence, so that, quote, someone, end quote, in Congress, i.e. Josh Hawley, and then I think it was ended up being Mo Brooks, can make an objection when they start counting votes, and they can start arguing that the fake electors should be counted, end quote. In other words, then it would go to the House, and 27 or 8 of the delegations were majority Republican, and Trump would be the president. That's what happened. Now, think about that email again on December 8th, 2020. The election was November 3rd, and the insurrection was January 6th, 2021. Joe Biden was sworn in January 20, 2021. This is the lame duck period. And this scheme, they're exchanging emails, and this is not the only email that uses the word fake electors. They admit it. They say, we are just going to come up with fake electors and put them in, along with the Democrats presumably putting in the correct ones, or actually it was the secretaries of state and the governors. One of the anomalies of this is that there are more Republican governors in this country than Democratic right now. And there are more Republican secretaries of state than Democratic secretaries of state. But every one of them in all 50 states certified Biden, every one of them. They certified the votes from their states. And when I say certified Biden, obviously in states that Trump won, like Alabama, they certified Trump for that state, but they all conceded that, look, we're gonna count the total electoral votes, and yes, Biden won by over 30. Well, Josh Hawley, and then Mo Brooks and a lot of the others in the Republican caucus, quote, objected, end quote. And this is what Jack Wilinchik was saying to Boris Epstein, again, using the term fake electors. Quote, we would just be sending in fake electoral votes, he used the word, to Pence so that, quote, someone, end quote, in Congress, Reid Hawley and Brooks, can make an objection when they start counting votes and start arguing that the fake vote should be counted, end quote. And then, of course, it goes to the House. You know, how much evidence do we need? I've been a lawyer for a lot of years, and I'll tell you what, I've never had this much evidence in my favor in any case. This is amazing. The other party calls themselves fake electors, and we're trying to prove that they're fake electors. you know, look, what do you want, videotape? You want videotape of the guy doing it? You want videotape? You had videotape of Trump. You have videotape of Trump saying, go to the Capitol. And Mike Pence says the right thing. Great. And if he doesn't, oh, well. And then texting out, Mike Pence didn't have the courage. And the rabble started to cry, coward, hang Mike Pence. And Trump knew that they were armed. How did he know? Because Secret Service wouldn't let them near him. And he said, take away the metal detectors. They're not here to harm me. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out who are they there to harm. They harm somebody. Oh, people in the Capitol. Who are at the Capitol? Police officers and congressmen and senators. You can't have Trump say, well, I didn't mean they should harm the police and the legislators. I mean that they should harm nobody, but if they had to, somebody else. You know, at what point does Merrick Garland and the attorney generals in the various states go, these fraudulent electors were part of a conspiracy to cheat people out of the effect of their votes in the states that went Democratic, and those happen to be the fake elector states. Those happen to be Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, all won by Trump, all won by Trump. The Republicans in all those states nevertheless elected majority legislatures that were Republican, or most of those five, six states, and congressmen, and they don't want any of those votes thrown out. They don't want any of those votes thrown out because ballots got mailed into old age homes, or they were lawful drop boxes, which were approved at the time by the Wisconsin Election Commission, 6-0, which included the three Republicans. Everything's hunky-dory as long as a Republican got elected. If Joe Biden got elected, then you send in fake electors. Fannie Willis is the only prosecutor in the country right now who is actively going after it with a grand jury. The only one. It's a magnificent person down in Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County. It's in front of a grand jury. And the people whom she's targeting are the prominent people in the Georgia Republican Party. State senators, office holders. Take a look at who we had up here in Wisconsin. Robin Voss was the one who reserved the conference room for them in the Capitol to select the and pretend to vote for the fake electors. Robin Voss was part of it. He orchestrated it. You had a former chairman of the Republican Party. You had a woman who was a municipal officer up in Brown County. You had Republican activists, the heart of the Republican Party. What were they thinking getting together saying we will be fake electors? Why did they so easily betray our democracy? Why didn't one of them stand up? And you know, there are Republicans in the state who stood up. Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan flat out said there was no, the election was not rigged. Trump got fewer votes. In a private and recorded speech that Ron Johnson gave to a group out in Wauwatosa at a fundraiser, somebody asked him about rigging. He said, look, Trump got 50,000 votes fewer, less than the Republican candidates for Congress and the legislature. He underperformed. That's why he lost. But Ron Johnson won't say that now. And he talked to a guy who was the former chairman of the Republican Party in the 8th Congressional District, the Green Bay area. And the guy said, look, you know that Biden won. Why don't you come right out and say it? Ron Johnson said, I know he won. But if I say that, I'm just going to get killed in the base. That's what's going on. But here you have an email where they're, and not the only one, saying they knew they were fake electors. If the prosecutors don't start picking up on that, what more evidence do you want? What more investigation do you want? Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. As the snow flies.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joe?
I really appreciated your discussion of the fake elector situation, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts as a lawyer as to why you haven't had the attorney generals in the state where these schemes have been happening, such as ours with Josh Call, or even the local law enforcement, such as the Madison or Dane County law enforcement. Look at these fake electors. Clearly something happened that was a conspiracy against our democracy. It's fraud. You know, at minimum, it's fraud. Do you think that there's any reason that the local and the state have held back because this is part of the overall federal investigation under Merrick Garland, and perhaps they've been told, please don't walk into this because this may somehow damage our case? I'm interested in your speculation on that as a lawyer, Matt, and I'll take my response off air.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. That's a good question. And I've seen no indication that Merrick Garland has asked anybody to stay away. Fannie Willis is the DA in Atlanta, well, Fulton County, Atlanta. And she went ahead and is going forward with a grand jury. And she's getting death threats. Her kids are getting death threats. I think what's going on is this. Because this is in six states, the various attorneys general in the states figure, okay, well, we'll send this to Merrick Garland and he'll bring the prosecution. Well, for reasons I set out yesterday, I'm not confident that Merrick Garland is going to bring any meaningful prosecution against Donald Trump personally or any of these fake electors. And Then I think Fannie Willis realized that, and then since she went ahead herself. They absolutely can go ahead. And you make a very, very good point. The district attorney in for Dane County, which is where this occurred, could as well. Fannie Willis is the equivalent of the district attorney of Dane County. She's the district attorney of Fulton County. In other words, this isn't even the attorney general of Georgia. So there are three lines of prosecutorial ability. There's Merrick Garland, there is the attorney general, and then there is the county, the district attorney for the county in which the fraud occurred. Now, frankly, it's here's what I think is really going on. It's obviously very easy just to defer to Merrick Garland, and that relieves everybody of a lot of pressure. The other thing is, keep this in mind, it takes a lot of courage to be a prosecutor. And the people that have stood up to Trump are getting death threats, including against their families. And there have been 1,000 or so death threats against people ranging from the healthcare group. You know, Fauci, for instance, has 24/7 security, Dr. Fauci, health commissioners. And there's been one conviction in a year, one out of 1,000. Now, 1% would be 10 of them. This is 0.1%. These people have to start to go to jail. The easiest way not to proceed against the fake electors would be to say, well, they fraudulently sent these in, but maybe they thought that it was contingent only if a court overturns the election. So they were just sort of putting them in as a marker. You know, yesterday, I'm not going to do it again, went through the analysis of how you bring a prosecution. You only need probable cause to charge. You need beyond a reasonable doubt to convict. So when you start anticipating stupid and crazy defenses that they might put up and say, oh, well, maybe some juror somewhere would agree with it, you're not going to prosecute anything. I think basically that somebody like Merrick Garland would take an act of courage to take on the Trump mob, and it would take an act of courage to take on the Trump mob statewide or countywide. That's what's going on. And by giving it to Garland, he's basically burying it through internal investigations, and now he says he won't do it before November elections. Well, November elections are going to come, and then it's going to be Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I could do it then. Then the presidential season will start next year. And then if McCarthy is the speaker, the January 6th commission goes away and a new commission investigates Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Joe Biden, and Hunter Biden. And we're tied up for 2 years and it gets more and more political. Let me put it this way. Merrick Garland likes to be liked, and he doesn't want controversy, and he wants to be in the Supreme Court. And frankly, you know, I don't blame him. He doesn't want death threats. He's probably getting them anyway. And that's true of a state attorney general. It's true of a county district attorney. Fannie Willis is a woman of courage. One of the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Mark?
Yeah, for these death threats, I mean, they just have to get serious unless each and every one of those death threats, if there was the person calls up and makes that death threat, they should do jail time, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. And for the fake electors thing, anyone that, because they've actually come out and said, well, these are fake electors. Well, any one of those who participated in this conspiracy against the United States of America should be prosecuted for that, and they should have their law licenses yanked. I mean, because they took an oath. When you swear before the bar, it's my understanding you take an oath to the Constitution.
Right.
And that they violated that oath. They violated the code of ethics as far as, you know, some people would say, well, lawyers don't have any code of ethics at all anyway, but many lawyers do have ethics. But they need to yank their ability to practice law anymore. Now, you just have to come down with both feet on these people. These people don't seem to remember, you know, that you know, the United States Code of Justice is merciful indeed when it comes to people like that, because rebellions in historically have been dealt with they executed everybody who was involved in the rebellion. I mean, that these people need to understand that everybody that broke into the Capitol that day should have been arrested as they were going out the door and stuck in jail. You know, I don't care if, oh, I just following the crowd, you mean, you know, I was just having a good old time. No, BS. They knew damn well what they were doing and that it's time just to get serious on these people. I mean, they're prosecuting people that were involved in any kind of malicious mischief on during the George Floyd protests, in spite of what the conservatives say, oh, they didn't go after those people. No, they did.
No, you're right. Yeah, we're coming on to a break pretty soon. I wanted to respond to what you're saying. It's very good stuff. And here's the deal. You're absolutely right that the people that make death threats, you can't sit around and say, well, I won't prosecute them because I can charge them beyond, by a preponderance of the evidence, but I can't say beyond a reasonable doubt a jury would say they were exercising their First Amendment rights. That's baloney. That's baloney. And the other thing is this. I mean, if you don't prosecute these people and their emails, they call themselves fake. And you're worried they'll get in front of a jury and say, I made a mistake, and they'll get acquitted. What are you doing as a prosecutor? Going to a break. If you're on the lines, do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789.
He learns how to fight in the ghetto. Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car.
For some of the members of Congress on the commission. I think it's bogus. But if the judge does that, or even if he doesn't, remember something. This is only this charge. He's up to his knees and he's up to his neck in sedition when it comes to the insurrection itself. And he, along with Giuliani, Mark Meadows, and Trump, are the ones that they're going to really home in on. So stand by, Steve. This is a start. Frankly, it's not even certain that this one's going to stick, but the other indictments, in my view, have to start coming down. Thanks for calling. Next one up in order is Andrew from Detroit, my friend. Andrew, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I wanted to talk about a caller that called yesterday. I'm not going to name shame the caller concerning what he said, but he was suggesting that Liz Cheney become part of the Democratic Party. Now, I think Liz Cheney should rebuild the party of Lincoln. This GOP is not the party of Lincoln. They're just a bunch of nuts following Trump. But Liz Cheney, after this January 6th committee, will be considered awful by the Democrats because of her voting record. Her voting record.
Right. Thank you, Andrew. You just cut out somehow. I don't know on whose end of the line, but you've given me a lot to work with and comment on, and I encourage you to call in again in my show in the future. Andrew is making the good point that Liz Cheney, you know, responding to the caller yesterday who said she should join the Democratic Party, her voting record overall is very conservative Republican, more conservative than Trump. She actually was voted with Trump over 90% of the time, more so than a lot of the other members of Congress. But where she drew the line was sedition, treason, insurrection, attack on our democracy. That's why I like her. So you're right. Andrew's absolutely right. She's not going to have a home in the Democratic Party, but we absolutely want her to rebuild the Republican Party. The Republican Party was founded by Abraham Lincoln, for Pete's sake. And this is no longer the party of Lincoln. It's the party of insurrection. So we need Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger badly, and we need them. Frankly, I'd like to see her as the Republican Party nominee for president. And Kinzinger as the vice president. I think very highly of both of them. It's absurd to say they should go in the Democratic Party. Thanks for calling, Andrew. Next up, Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Robert?
Good morning. What's on my mind is the August 9th primary. I was probably shocked, like a lot of people, that Alex Lazary dropped out of the race. And really, a few things. I think people need to give strong consideration to Sarah Godlewski. You know, she won nine counties. Some counties were flipped. She won Ron Johnson's home county. That's something Tony Evers can't say. That's something Josh Call can't say. That's something Mandela Barnes can't say. And overall, you know, I've met Sarah multiple times. She seems like she's the real deal. She was out in front on a lot of these issues regarding Roe and other things and reproductive health way before anyone else in the primary was talking about it. And, you know, I think there's been too much focus on the fact that she has money or there's wealth there between her and her husband. Really, what we need to be thinking about is how do we get people in the suburban areas? I think we have a lot of people that are in their Madison, Milwaukee bubble, and they think Barnes is going to do really well statewide. I don't see it. I think what's going to be critical in this race is to win white women in the suburbs. If we think about Trump's first election when he won, 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump. We know we probably aren't going to win the majority of white men, but we definitely have a strong shot at putting a coalition together and winning white women. And I think Sarah is really the one to speak to many of the issues, and I think she'll run strongest statewide against Ron Johnson. I think Mandela Barnes is great. I think he will do very well in Milwaukee and Madison. But I worry about, you know, winning the Senate. If we're serious about it, we have to be competitive or in 72 counties. Those are my thoughts, but people can make up their own mind.
Yeah, Reverend, thanks for calling in. I'm going to, first of all, I know Sarah Godlewski. I had lunch with her and her campaign manager, Scott Spector, to talk about her campaign early on. I think very highly of her. And so that part of it, I'm very, very glad that you gave your opinion. That said, the rest of it I'm going to differ with you from. I do not look on this as a racial thing anymore. I don't like identity politics, and I don't divide our electorate into gender and race and this, that, and the other thing. I think people are looking for leadership. My own personal opinion is either Mandela Barnes or Sarah Godlewski could beat Ron Johnson. Both of them could beat Ron Johnson. And number two, I think that Sarah Godlewski will have great statewide appeal, including Madison and Milwaukee. And I think that Mandela Barnes will have great statewide appeal, not just in Madison and Milwaukee, but in other counties as well, because he's an honest guy and he's a very, very decent guy. And I think that that either of them would be fine. I have not revealed my preference in this race because I'm the host of this and I want to encourage everybody to call in. But that said, both of them could beat Ron Johnson. That's my view. The other thing is there's this tendency towards identity politics in the Republican Party, and I'm not, or Democratic Party. I'm not suggesting that you are for that one way or the other, but the analytics that you've used and people tend to use reduce people to somehow racial or gender alliances. And I frankly don't see that. I do think, yeah, it's true that after the fact, you have pollsters slicing and dicing it. But I think it's a mistake to say, well, this one can only get this or a greater majority and that one can get that. I think that's not the way I look at it. So many thanks for calling in. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. The possibility does exist. Trump can walk. Rebecca could be a governor. And Johnson could be senator. So this upcoming primary, what's left of it, the people that didn't drop out, is very important. Pick a candidate. You don't have to pick one in the governor's race, but you're doing a lieutenant governor's race. These people need to be beaten. Trump needs to be indicted. That being said, I will have to agree with the last caller on the fact that I will be voting for Sarah. I don't blame you for not endorsing anybody, but I think Sarah can beat Johnson hands very easily. But that's just my opinion. So please pick a candidate, the one you think it can win. My opinion now is Sarah can win the state because she has before. So that's just my two cents this morning. Heaven forbid if the other scenario works out. I surely hope it doesn't. So get out there and vote. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. That's eloquent, as always. Appreciate your point of view. I'm going to reiterate two things. One is I believe that either Mandela Barnes or Sarah Godlewski can beat Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson, remember something. When there's an incumbent, the election is a referendum on the incumbent. As long as the challenger is competent and there's nothing wrong with him, it's a referendum on Ron Johnson. I don't know of anybody in the state who's going to say, well, I would have voted for this Democrat or that Democrat, but because they didn't get the nomination, I guess I'll go back and vote for Ron Johnson. Nobody's going to do it. What you are going to get is some apathy. You're going to get some fall off from some people. We'll go, well, well, I just am not excited about the Democrats. I think both Mandela Barnes and Sarah Godlewski will generate excitement, either one of them, in the Democratic Party, and I think they can beat Ron Johnson. I have no idea who's going to win. I can read the polls like anybody else. I have no idea where the fallout comes when you look at somebody like, Tom Nelson and Alex Lazary dropping out. I just have absolutely no idea how that gets sorted out. But that is my view of things. Okay, we're going to try to sneak in one more call. There's a whole lineup, and I'll get to you in order. But I'll tell you what, if we go to a break, which we are going to shortly, but we're going to break in a minute. So hang on, do not hang up. I want to talk to you when we get back about, and how many times have I told you, do not trust Republicans with money? How many times have I said that? Well, I'm going to give you a concrete example of why not when we get back from the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a lot more after the break. It's going to be a scam, in my view, involving the Republicans giving money to private businesses at inflated amounts, and a lot more. Stand by. Do not hang up. A lot more back after the break.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines in order, Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Good morning, Matt. Great show. Really significant issue this morning. And I really do believe that, the threat, of bodily harm and other threats that are given to attorney generals and people who are in those positions, that comes with the job. It bothers me, but it comes with the job. And if they're fearful and they do not do their jobs because they're afraid, this is a big problem, because we need people in there that put our country above their fears. Unfortunately, that's the way it is today, and that's the way the Republicans have made it. But they do need to come down hard on any threats, lock them up, fine them, whatever, investigate them. They need to hire all the people they can, because we cannot withstand these threats. And another thing, too, is I'm glad you're going to talk about Republicans' ability with money or what the heck they do. They have no conscience whatsoever, and they're also incompetent. Really and seriously, these people that are putting on a show in our federal government, they're incompetent. They have no skills. They do not know how to solve problems. So instead, they run in front of the TV and they're complaining that Trump won the election. I mean, come on, folks. Is this the way we're going to run with our lives for the rest of our lives? Or are we going to start, electing competent people that can solve problems, that can work with other people, that can dig us out of holes? Our President Biden has did an outstanding job with all the odds against him. Tony Evers, outstanding job. He's with the people. He's over on our side of the state, working with others, trying to help get us out of the fix that we're having. Biden's doing the best job he can, but we need to get people in there to get the job done. We need competence, we need honesty and integrity, and we need people that work for the people and not their big donors. And thank you very much, Matt. Well,
thank you, Gene. As always, I love your passion. Love your passion. And I'll tell you what, you raised the issue of cracking down on people who make death threats. I don't think that people should have to put up with that. And I think too many prosecutors, and starting with Merrick Garland, who are thinking, well, trying to think 10 plays in the future, what if they make this defense, can I get a conviction? Baloney. The standard to charge is a preponderance of the evidence. An ethical prosecutor does say, well, can I prove it beyond a reasonable doubt? That doesn't mean you're certain of getting a conviction in every state case. You can't just be paralyzed and say, I'm only going to get one conviction out of 1,000 death threats in a year. You have got, if they said the words, then, you know, I'm going to kill you, or wait, somebody else will kill you. The fact that they say, I didn't say I'd kill him, prosecute him. See if the jury is common sense. Jury of his peers, 12 people. They're not going to buy that. They're not going to buy that. If they go First Amendment, fine, let the jury decide it. When they get him, they have to have a very substantial minimum sentence. There have to be people on your block with jobs that you see at cookouts and all that who are going to jail for 4 years. Going to jail. Going to jail. This has got to be stopped. In 1997, I went to Russia with our Justice Department to give lectures to prosecutors and lawyers in, this is during the thaw between the countries, on our justice system. And a lot of the prosecutors, they made $600 a month in those days. And that was 97, but that was peanuts. They were continuously subject to death threats. They told me that. And ultimately brought that country down. We can't let that happen here. Knock it off. Okay, I want to quick talk. Do not hang up, everybody. I want to talk quick about Republicans and money and then get back to the lines. Just came out in 2020, Republicans in Utah, and this was Mitt Romney and others, but it was national because it involved Florida, Utah, Iowa, Nebraska. It involved Tennessee, contracted for COVID testing and other services with a company that had no public health experience, just a few employees, and they ended up paying them $219 million, and they were being charged, the government, $235 a test, a COVID test. Now, you can go to a pharmacy and get it for like $79 right now. And even back then, at the beginning, all the other providers were doing it for $125 or less. This outfit, $235 a test, and they gave $1 million in contributions to various candidates in these states. Utah paid them $78.5 million, Iowa paid them $26 million, Nebraska paid them $62 million, Florida paid them $46.5 million, Tennessee paid them $5.9 million. Bunch of characters show up and they go, okay, we like to get in the business, could we have $219 million? And then, surprisingly, after those contracts were signed, here's $1 million in contributions. You know, the Republicans talk about eliminating waste and fraud. There are some good Republicans. I think the world of Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, and there are certainly crooked Democrats. But let me tell you something. This is out of hand. And I've said it here in this state. The Duchess of Foxconn is running. The Duchess pro-Foxconn give a Cheney's outfit $4 billion. To see if they can make a profit, insure all their losses. They socialize their risk and privatize their profits. And they claim they're capitalists. Turned down $1 billion in train money, $1 billion in Medicaid money, then charged us back for tax dollars from our state tax dollars for the same thing. Do not trust them with money. We're going back to the lines. Next in line is Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Bill of Shorewood?
I am concerned that Ron Johnson has voted against this CHIPS bill that passed yesterday. The CHIPS bill would provide $52 billion for chip manufacturing here in the United States. It would have, and it did pass, but he voted against it. There was another $200 billion for research and development, including workforce training and educational services in the computer area where we have a job or expertise shortage. It would also provide money for the woefully underfunded National Science Foundation. This is in an area of chip manufacturing and chip research that is vital for many industries in the United States, including automobiles and, of course, computers itself, artificial intelligence. Advanced manufacturers here in Wisconsin that have 180,000 some employees. And for him to vote against this is just one more indication of what you're saying, Matt, that he cannot be trusted with money. He doesn't know what a good investment is in our economy. And I hope the voters understand that this was a severe blunder. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. That's an excellent this CHIPS bill, by the way, they even got Moscow Mitch to sign on. I think there was something like 67 or 8 or 9 senators, including Republicans, and there were 31 or 2 Republicans voting against it, and Johnson was one. What was he thinking? Do you know that the chip shortage slowed down the auto industry? Badly slowed down the auto industry. Right now, Taiwan, now there are their allies, that Taiwan is the Republic of China. The People's Republic is the Commie Chinese on the mainland. And we shouldn't be dependent on Taiwan or anywhere else. We should not be dependent on Taiwan or anywhere else, as friendly as they are. This would have enhanced that manufacturing and was an absolutely needed investment. Thanks for calling. Next in line, Bill of Economwalk, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Bill.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Say, I wanted to say to all the listeners to call the station and thank Mike Crute and all the other people on there. You guys do such a wonderful job. I saw something yesterday I never thought I'd live long enough to see. Fox was turning on Trump and talking about sedition. Can you imagine that? Fox News? There was an article today out about how Fox is turning its back on Trump. That's not the end. It's a beginning. And because of Mike Crute and all you guys on that station, you're changing public opinion. You're having an effect. And the timing with the midterms coming, the January 6th trial, you couldn't ask for much more. But listeners, you got to thank these guys. You got to thank Matt. You got to thank them all. Because without them, I'm not so sure all this would happen. Thanks, and have a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. And, you know, thank you for the compliment to the station. But also, remember something. Even the New York Post, which is owned by Murdoch, came out and said that Trump is not suited for public office because of what he did on January 6th. So when that is happening, that is devastating to him. That is his base. That is his base. We have a lot more to get to and a lot more callers. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Thanks all the great callers today. It was a great show. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Matt Flynn Direct signing off for now. Hey, 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 hey. Hey, hey, hey.